We're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. O come, Emmanuel. I like how verse 18 starts. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, betrothed just means she was pledged to be married. She was engaged. She was preparing for that great wedding day. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was a good amen moment right there. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Now, verse 23, you'll find a quotation from the prophet Isaiah found in chapter 7, verse 14. So Isaiah 7:14. Right now, Matthew is going to draw from that passage. The angel speaks this to Joseph in his dream. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, come on, Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love that, a definition for Emmanuel. What does that mean? That means God's with you. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. This is the word of the Lord here today. And I was thinking about what to title this message, and a simple title came upon my heart. I want to share it with you here today. Here's the title of the message: God with us, the greatest gift. Amen. The greatest Christmas gift that you or I could receive is God with us. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about some of my favorite Christmas gifts. Does anybody just have a favorite Christmas gift? Could have been when you were younger. It could be from older age. Come on, anybody just got a favorite Christmas gift? Just come think about it right now. Process it right now. Maybe you're starting to get some memories in your head. I see you, Brandon. You're starting to come back. The moment is coming to you, right? I hope it's not a fruitcake, all right? Anybody ever get those and you're like, what do I do with this? And I hope it's not a re-gift. Come on. Some of y'all be re-gifting now. You need to repent. Repent of the re-gift. I once got a re-gift and it still had the person's name tag on it. It was like underneath the package, they forgot. They're like, hey, man, really wanted to bless you with this. Hope you like it, man. I was thinking about you. And underneath it was like, to Ted from, I was like, come on, this is a re-gift right here. Come on now. I would always get one package and it would always be nicely wrapped, beautifully wrapped. And I'd be like, man, this is going to be a good one right here. I wonder what this could be. I'd shake it up. I'm like, ooh, there's something in here. It's going to be good. I'd open it up and it would be a pack of Oreos. I'd be like, Mom, come on now. But then I would hit an Oreo up and then be like, you know, that's actually a pretty good Christmas gift mid-opening, you know? If you need an Oreo, I got you. Come find me afterwards. I'm selling them for $1 a piece. Come on. I'm playing. You know what? I was thinking about it. You know, in high school, I'm a shoe fan, and I love Michael Jordan shoes. I have since I was a kid, and I remember being in high school, and these shoes were finally coming back out. They were retroing. They're called the Jordan 14, the last shot, the ones that he wore when he made that last shot, tongue all out, come on, hit that game winner against the Utah Jazz. And I was like, man, I've always wanted those black and red Jordan 14s. And I remember, you know what, this was back before you had the apps and all that. You actually had to go to the store and stand in line. And somehow my parents figured it out, and I got blessed with those shoes that day. And I remember it was a Christmas memory in high school, and so I like went into my closet. I was digging all around, throwing stuff around. And I found the Jordan 14s. I pulled them on. I was like, you know what? I'm going to preach in them today. It's a redemptive moment, right? But I was thinking, what's a favorite gift? And I'm not sure about you and what your favorite Christmas gift is, but here's what I want to encourage you with today. More than something that you could eat, more than something that you could wear, is someone that you could know. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God with us is the greatest gift. I wrote it down like this in my notes, and maybe this will make sense for you. Reality statement. His presence is still the greatest present. The presence of God, His presence, is still the best present. And the more that we can realize that, the more that we can be aware of this, the more that we could preach this to our hearts, to our minds, to our families, the more that I think we'll have the peace, the joy, the wonder of Christmas come alive that much more. God with us is the greatest gift. I want to show that to you here in Matthew chapter 1. Now, the thing I love about the Bible, and specifically the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different gospel accounts, four different writers, all inspired by God, all telling the story of Christ. Matthew and Luke are two specific gospels that really give a lot of attention and time to the birth narrative of Jesus. Now, Mark jumps kind of right into Jesus full grown. Mark's gospel, I like to call like the Sports Center top 10 of Jesus. It's like 16 chapters. He just jumps right into Jesus in action. And John's gospel, you find a quick moment about Christmas at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that was the Christmas story. Jumping right into adult Jesus. What I love about Matthew is you get Joseph's perspective. What I love about Luke is you get Mary's perspective. Today, I want to focus in on Matthew, and I want to focus in on Joseph. And today, if you're like, well, what about Mary? Come to church next week. To be continued. I want to look at Matthew, and I want us to look at this first gospel. And as we just read, we find a lot about Joseph. The Bible doesn't speak a lot about Joseph, to be honest. In fact, in the book of Luke, you find this beautiful, powerful, big birth narrative of Jesus, and Joseph gets like an honorable mention, just like a quick shout out. But Matthew gives us more into Joseph's situation. And why I think it's helpful to know his story in the context of this title, God with us, the greatest gift. You know, what's going on here is Joseph just found out from his fiance. Joseph, he's pursuing purity and righteousness. Mary's pursuing righteousness. We know that was her reputation in the city. This is probably a young adult couple, probably more so in their later teenage years. They're betrothed. They're engaged. Engagement in this day was not quite like how we do it here in our day. It was supposed to be a year long. And if you were betrothed together, you were pledged to be married. You actually had to go through a divorce process to get out of the betrothal. It was that serious of a situation, but you weren't quite living together yet. You weren't engaging in sexual activity. That was the betrothal. It was a period of engagement that you got to know each other at a very high level. And so Joseph realizes one day when he's with Mary that she got a little baby bump. And that was concerning for him. Can I get an amen? Right? And so he had to call a timeout, a full timeout. What's going on here? Right? And then the worst type of excuse, in fact, that could happen there, before we go further, just trying to put yourself in the story, Mary blames it on God. You know what? Like the Holy Spirit. And the angel appeared to me, and Joseph's like, I'm not having it. Like, you're not hitting me with the God card for this situation. He's just not believing, and he resolves in his heart to divorce her quietly. In other words, he's backing out of this situation. He's getting out of it. It's too scandalous. It's too drama-filled. She's not telling him what he's wanting to hear or what the truth is. In fact, she is telling him the truth, but he's not receiving it. And can you imagine for Mary, like, this has to be so stressful in a lot of ways for her, just all that's going on at once. We're just trying to put ourselves in the human, literal, very real story of what happened in history. So Joseph, I just kind of see him laying on his bed, and he's considering all this. What? The Holy Spirit? An angel appeared to her? This is a virgin birth. And then he goes into a deep sleep. And the Lord dispatches an angel to speak to him in a dream. Now let's go ahead and look at what happens here in verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. The first thing that I want you to see about why God with us is the greatest gift is this. Because when things are hard, he's near. When things are difficult, when you're walking through life and you get news that you weren't aware of, when you walk into a situation that is frustrating, when somebody does something you don't like, when you get a medical diagnosis that you weren't prepared for, did anything hard happen to anybody in 2025? Okay, good. I'm glad that I'm in a room full of some people that can feel. And this was a hard moment for Joseph to navigate. And you know what I think Joseph needed to hear in this difficult season is that God was not distant, but was near. In fact, love this psalm right here, Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19. Here's what it says. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I would like to think that Joseph was crushed at the reality of his situation in that moment. He had all these plans for marriage, and now he's getting out of it. He was crushed. He was heartbroken. And God says, "I'm right there with you. I'm not far, I'm near. Now, many are the afflictions of the righteous." Now, that's a promise that we don't like to amen. The more righteous you become, the more afflicted sometimes life is. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. The question is God with you or not? When God's with you, that's the greatest gift. I'm grateful that we, especially when things are hard, don't have to buy a plane ticket and jump across the world to go to a specific site in Israel and wait in line all day to get to a temple and get into a room and to potentially get near to God. I'm grateful we don't have to do all that. In fact, through faith in Jesus, because of Christmas, God's with us. And I think what Joseph, as he considered all, I mean, could you imagine all he was considering? What are people gonna say? What are people gonna think? What are they going to think about me? What if I do stay? What's that going to mean for me? What if she is telling the truth? What if she's not telling the truth? He's considering all of this. And sometimes you just got to go to sleep on it. Amen? You got to just consider, and let me just take a night to just sleep on it. And he does that, and God says, "I'm with you." The angel speaks to him and says, "You know what? Here's what you got to know. When things get hard, I'm with you." God does not leave, he stays. J.I. Packer says, "The incarnation is God's definitive declaration that he is not far off." The incarnation is God's definitive declaration. The word incarnation, God incarnate, God becoming a man, Jesus putting skin on, right? The God-man dwelling among us, that is definitively saying to us, he's not far. He's not far off. I want you to know that today. If you get nothing else from this whole experience today at church, I hope you get this. Man, God's not far off. He's not so distant that he can't be known. In fact, I could get to know him, and he know me. What about when things get hard? That's the time for sure that you could lean in and say, "Okay, God, be with me," and trust that he is. This is where Joseph was, and the Lord didn't leave him. The Lord leaned in. Amen? Come on, look at the second point here today. When we are limited, he is limitless. Why is it so important? Why is God with us the best gift? Why is that a better gift than a shoe or a better gift than an Oreo? Why is that a better gift? Can I just tell you why that's a better gift? Because when we're limited, he's limitless. You can't put limits on God, amen? You can't put limits on the creator of the world. You can't put limits on the one who breathed out the stars and named them. This is God we're talking about. He's with us. Come on, look at verse 20. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. He's got the right genealogy here. He says, do not fear. And I love that phrase. That's an important phrase for Christmas. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a whole lot going on in this sentence from the angel. He's saying, don't be afraid. Continue the course. Take Mary as your wife, and you have a part to play in it, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, that is impossible to man, but it's possible for God. In fact, again, try to put yourself in Mary's slippers for a second. Mary's got to be there, teenage years, preparing for marriage. She's marrying Joe, small town called Nazareth. What good could come out of Nazareth? The Messiah would come from Nazareth, right? What does the angel tell her? Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. Look at 37. Come on. In fact, read Luke 1, verse 37 with me. Ready, set, go. For nothing will be impossible with God. I just wanted to stop right there and say to somebody here today, somebody here in this room, somebody watching this online is navigating something that for you is impossible. Could be a relational issue, could be a health issue, it could be a personal secret sin or addiction that you just can't seem to beat, it can't seem to shake, I just can't seem to get it right. It is impossible. Hear from the Lord today who's with us. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, a direct quotation given to Mary, still good for us today. Nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? I just wanted to speak that over you. God with us is the greatest gift. Why? Because you have the one who's limitless when you're limited. Talk to him. Surrender to him. Say, God, I'm going to take my hands off the wheel. You have limitless control. I actually trust that you can what I can't. I think God wants to get us into a position of surrender where we say, you know what, God, it's all yours. Not about I, all about Christ. And can I just tell you, God checks into the game and he's an instant triple-double. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all hooping, all working. And we're over there like, yeah, God, go. Keep working. We try to check in and we miss quite a few shots. We turn the ball over quite frequently. Let me get out of my basketball coach mode. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen, the limitless God, he's the greatest gift. I wanted to ask you this question to reflect on, and I mean it. I want you to reflect on it throughout this week. And would this question help guide your prayer life and your devotional life? Here's the question. We'll put it on the screen. What feels impossible in your life right now? And how does Emmanuel, God with us, change that? I ask you that question because I'm thinking about Joseph, who's considering what his life will look like, and it feels impossible. What does your life look like when the God who is possible steps into it? How does that shift your prayer life? How does that shift your perspective? The thing I love about Joseph is he went to sleep, I'm ready to get divorced, I'm checked out, I'm gonna do it quietly, I'm out. He woke up saying, I'm in. What happened? In one dream, Joseph realized Emmanuel happened. I think what Joseph needed to be reminded of is if God's going to go with me, I'm down to go. If the one who is limitless is with me, I'll do it. If I got to go by myself in my own strength, I'm limited. I don't know about you, but I feel like the older I get, the more limited I feel. And the more, you know, does anybody ever just like look at life and just feel like, man, I'm limited? You look in the mirror and just feel like, I'm limited. You look at your situation, you look at your bank account and feel like, I'm limited. Come on, amen. Just feel like, man, I'm limited. You're like, I just, man, just more and more. And then you consider the God factor. Yeah. Charles Spurgeon said, one man with God has the majority. I just need him. If God's with me, it changes everything. He's limitless. I'm limited. And I think that's what changed in Joseph's life. From the time he went to sleep to the time he woke up, he was reminded who God is. Let's look at this third and final point. When our flesh fails, he saves. When we sin, when we fall short, and Romans 3:23 says, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, all of us have sinned. We are sinful in our nature. We struggle to do the right things. Even the great Apostle Paul once said, I do the things I hate. The things I want to do, I don't do. Anybody feel the struggle? I know I feel that way at times. And I'm grateful that when our flesh fails, he saves. So point number one, when life gets hard, he draws near. He doesn't back out. That's God with us, amen? When I'm brokenhearted, he's near. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You ever had somebody in your life, don't think about them, don't elbow them if they're next to you, that when life gets hard, they're out? Right? I'm grateful that God is not like that. In fact, he leans in, he's near, he's close. He saves the crushed in spirit. Point number two, when we feel limited, how am I gonna do this? I can't do this. Well, God is limitless and he's with you. That's the greatest gift. Number three, well, what happens when I start sinning and I let him down? Like, because here's the thing, right? Come on, be honest. God with us, on one hand, is terrifying. On the other hand, is incredible. It's amazing if I know that he's for me. If God's with me and he's against me, that's not a good day. If God's with me and he's for me, that's the greatest gift. What Christmas teaches us is that God's with you and he's for you. I love this simple quote here from the theologian John Stott. God with us means God for us. God with us means that he actually is committed to us. God with us God could easily start a flood and never stop it, and we would all drown to a death. Or God could send his son Jesus to be with us, to save us, not condemn us. In fact, we're already condemned in our sin. Jesus came to save. So you got, who do you have with you? You have the God who's near, the God who's limitless, and the God who came to save. He's with me? Oh, that's the greatest gift. Look at Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son. This is the angel talking to Joseph in the dream. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, the Hebrew name, Yeshua, translates to the English phrase, Savior. Every time you say the name Jesus, you're saying Savior, the one who saves. Jesus Christ, the Savior who is the anointed Messiah, the Christ. You shall. How about Joseph? You get to name him. Joseph, take on your authoritative calling as dad, as adopted dad. The angel says, Joseph, you have been selected to adopt the Son of God in an earthly way for a period of time. What a calling. His name will be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Oh, that phrase right here, he will save. God with us. Why is he the greatest gift? Well, he's the greatest Savior. You know, this past week, thank you so much for praying for me. I had the incredible once-in-a-lifetime trip to Greece and to Turkey. And 7 days, we spent time in 7 different cities. We traced the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 16, all the way through chapter 20. We traced his second missionary journey from Philippi to Corinth to Berea to Thessaloniki to Ephesus to Athens, Greece. We went to all the different sites that he preached. And this was one of the different sites I took a picture at in Athens, Greece. And I thought that this was just an interesting time and really a fascinating moment. Above me there is called the Acropolis there in Athens. And that would have been where the Parthenon, and the goddess Athena had her temple built, where people all over the world would come to Athens to sacrifice and bring offerings to the goddess, the Greek mythological goddess Athena. I'm standing here on Mars Hill, where Paul would have done ministry in the marketplace. So he would have been down here. He would have been reasoning with people. And he walks past an inscription. And I'll go ahead and read this verse to you in Acts chapter 17, verse number 23. Acts 17:23 says, this is Paul saying, "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you.'" And Paul took their inscription to their lowercase g God, and he said, "Listen, I want to take what you believe, and I want to take you to the God who's able to be known. Like, what you worship is unknown. You worship these Greek mythological figures, goddesses and gods, but can I just actually introduce you to God, the one true God? Who's not made by hands, who doesn't dwell in temples made by humans. He's bigger than all of this." They dragged Paul from Mars Hill up to the Acropolis. He started to reason with people in Athena's temple and preach the gospel. And here's what he was helping them see. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. People were using that phrase to refer to the god Zeus. And Paul was saying, no, it's always been about God. Jesus, who was sent forth from the Father, born of a virgin. He actually came to us. You don't know any of these gods or goddesses. In fact, the idea in the land was that the gods were upset with the people. That if they didn't do a certain amount of things, then the gods and goddesses would affect the weather and they would do different things to the people in the land. And Paul says, none of that. We have a God who we know. We know his name. His name's Jesus, and he is not distant. He's with us. And they said, "Your God's with you? Like, we believe in gods and goddesses, but your God's with you?" Yeah, Emmanuel, God with us. That was the word given to King Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7. God said, "Hey, Isaiah, go tell King Ahaz, Emmanuel's coming. Stop being fearful. God is with us." And he came to save us. So today, I don't know where you need saving, but I would call upon the God who's with us. I want to put this last phrase up here as a question, as a response, a sermon application, if you would. Today, do you need to be saved? And just process that question. Do you need to be saved? If you don't know Jesus as Savior, yes, you do. Nobody else can save you from your sin problem but him. No work, no dance, no gemstone, no jewel, no tree, no self-help book, no motivation could save you from your sins. Only God sending his son to pay the final price. Your sin has separated you from God, but God sent his son to be with you to bring you close. So today, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, the invitation is there. But today, maybe you're here and you're saying, "I know God. I believed in Jesus. But I don't know if he can save my marriage. I don't know if he can save my family. I don't know if he can save my bank account. I don't know if he can save my personal struggles. I don't know if he can save my soul, my heart. Like, I believe in Jesus. One day I'll go to heaven, but I don't know if he can save my struggle today." Can I just tell you, God's with us. I can't control or promise what can happen in another person, but you can control what's going to happen in you. And by your simple calling upon the name of Jesus, and by your surrender to him, and taking all the things you're trying to control and saying, "God, I release them to you," you can see some saving work in your life today. Invite him in. Acknowledge him. Call upon his presence. It's the greatest present. Trust his timing. Follow his voice, the God who's with us. Amen? You know, I was thinking about this as I close. This will be the final thing I share. I love Christmas movies. Anybody love Christmas movies? I feel like the time is ticking. We got to just get them all in this short amount of time. And You know, I was watching a Christmas movie with my family the other night. It might be a little bit corny, but it's one of my personal favorites. It's called Jingle All the Way. And it has Arnold Schwarzenegger and this little boy, Jamie. And Arnold stars in this role. And the movie, listen, I'm going to give it away. I'm going to spoil it for you. If you haven't seen it by now, too late, all right? Catch up. Check it out if you want. But if not, I'm going to help you get there real quick. So there's this figure called Turbo Man. And he says, it's turbo time, right? And the little boy, Jamie, it's his dream. It's his life's goal to get his hands on an actual Turbo Man doll. But Arnold Schwarzenegger has some issues with time management, and he was too focused on all this other stuff. He forgets to get the doll. It's Christmas Eve, and the movie basically tells of him going on this fascinating journey, him and another actor named Sinbad. They try to find this doll. And they're going everywhere to find a Turbo Man, and they can't do it. They're even breaking the law. They have all types of issues. Finally, through a crazy display of events, Arnold Schwarzenegger ends up at the Christmas parade in the city, and he gets taken into a room, and suddenly he has to act as if he's the actual Turbo Man. And little Jamie's there in the parade, and through all types of different things, he ends up saving his son, Jamie. And they present Jamie an actual Turbo Man doll. And they say, here you go, son. And he takes that doll and he looks at it. And then he goes and gives it to somebody who really needed it and wanted it. They asked Jamie, they said, wait, all you ever wanted was that doll. And I loved his response. He said, I don't need the doll. I got the real thing. My dad is the Turbo Man. I don't need a doll. I don't need a present when I got his presents. Amen. He says, you know what? Here you go. You got it. I got the real thing. And I said, there it is. That's it right there. That's the Christmas story. Jesus is God with us. He's the greatest gift. All the other gifts turn into black and white, and Jesus glows in color when you start to realize, man, God with us, really, he really is the best gift. His presence was always the greatest present. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time today. God, I thank you for meeting us. Thank you that you are not the unknown God. You are the God who has revealed himself. You are the God who is present, available, and on time. And God, you deserve the glory. God, I pray if there would be one person here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would put their faith in you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if today you would say, you know what, I need to call on the name of the Lord. I'm ready to be saved. I want to give you the opportunity to do that now. Maybe it's through the worship, or through the preaching, through the kids' Christmas play. You showed up and you're saying, you know what? I got to surrender my life. The best decision you could make is to trust him. You could start by calling on his name. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising from the grave and bringing me near. God, I know I was separated, but now I'm close. Forgive me. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. You are Emmanuel. Thank you for being with me. Save me. Heal me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And God, I just want to take one more moment. And God, I pray for all the believers in the room and online that know you, God, but are dealing with things that are that for them, they're limited. God, all of us have hurts and pains, stuff that we can't get over, stuff that just feels blocked or stuck. God, would you be the God with us to do things that with man are impossible, but with you, God, are possible? We give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen.